On Monday, we went to Waverly and visited with the people at Wartburg College who are coordinating the volunteers. They're doing mucking out and tearing out in Waverly. We then went and visited with Cheryl Campbell at Waterloo St. Paul's to get a feel of what she has going on there with the volunteers that are coming through, and enjoyed our visit with her very much. She showed us all around the church and the kitchen and where people stay and that kind of thing, and visited about where she sends the teams to work. We went to Cedar Falls and met with some other people there and just got a look at the lay of the land and what's going on there.
Let's go back to Waverly for a minute. Tell me what you saw when you went to Waverly on that trip.
We really didn't see the damages or anything. We mainly just met with the coordinators for that area, and they were telling us, I believe there's close to 500 homes that are damaged in that area that put applications in with FEMA.
All right. What is your sense of the greatest needs in Waverly as you talk to some of the people there?
In Waverly, the big push is to get the material torn out of the houses that are holding the water so that they can stop the mold, because if the mold travels up into the heating system, cooling system, then that becomes a very expensive proposition to get that out. And so that's their push right now, is to try to get the homes dewatered and dried out and treated to take care of the mold problems.
Okay. All right. And you said you were at Wartburg College. Is that a staging area? What's happening at Wartburg?
Wartburg College is the intake. They're the people that take the calls and emails, and they are the ones that send the teams and individuals out to the community to do the work.
Okay. Now, you said then from that point you visited with Cheryl Campbell at St. Paul's in Waterloo. What's the setup in the church like for those who come their way?
She has got it very well organized. It's a beautiful setup for any individuals or teams that come in there to work. They can cook their own meals, stay there. It's
spacious. They have a good amount of space for people to put their sleeping bags and other things. They have sofas that people claim for the night and sleep on, and that's fine. The church does not mind that. They are happy to host the teams, and they help with even with breakfasts and some evening meals even. Some of the people in the church come and help with that kind of thing too. So they're very gracious hosts. Very nice place for teams to go and work out of.
Now, in Waterloo, the Cedar Falls area, St. Paul's, for example, teams can come in as well as individuals?
Definitely. We know right now that there are two different individuals, one coming from the state of Virginia, and one from here in Iowa that is headed up there. The one from Iowa is planning on staying there for 2 weeks and working with teams or wherever he is needed.
Okay. All right. Then from there, you said you went to Cedar Falls. You met with some other folks. Tell me about what you observed there or some of the needs that, that you could describe?
In Cedar Falls, there are two things going on. The mayor and the city are looking for additional places to house displaced people, and the from the volunteer standpoint, we're looking for a place to house teams there, possibly for long-term recovery.
Then yesterday, you had a second adventure through other areas of the state. You said you went to Cedar Rapids, to Marion, and also to Coralville. Tell me a little bit about what's going on in Coralville and the needs that you...
When we met with Coralville, they're taking in a smaller group. Their maximum that they're asking to stay at the church is approximately 20 people. And they are sending out teams there or individuals. Again, it's a very active church, and so they have nice sleeping facilities there for the people to sleep on the floor. They have nice kitchen facilities, but they do ask that the people pick up their things and move them to the basement or out of the way, which is fine. VIMers are very flexible with their accommodations and so forth. Brian Clark is working with the people there. He's doing an excellent job in Coralville for the needs that are there right now.
What are some of those needs in the Coralville area?
Right now it's mucking out is the main thing. And then, of course, they'll be going into the long-term recovery.
So right now it's almost first response for some people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then Marion and Cedar Rapids.
In Cedar Rapids, we did a couple things. We went to the district office and visited with the staff there, and just got a feel for how things are going from their standpoint. And then we also visited the three churches that are currently flooding out, and had a walkthrough of the church and visited with whatever person from the church happened to be there working at the time. We then went to Marion and visited with Melissa Brott Wagner, who is heading up the volunteer component of the disaster response for the East Central District.
What was your sense of the spirit of people as you walked through the locations in Cedar Rapids?
The people we talked to are fairly upbeat. One gentleman had mentioned that he talked to one of the old timers of the church, whom he was very concerned about, that might be very down about the condition of the church. But the elderly gentleman just made the statement that when your car wears out, you get a new car. When you have to work on your church, you work on your church. And so that was a very upbeat attitude.
He also mentioned that if the church needed to be rebuilt or replaced, that's the thing to do. So they all had a very upbeat feeling about what all was being done in their communities.
So they have a strong commitment to both their church facility, but perhaps even more to helping out the neighbors who are in need at this point.
Definitely. We saw that at every place that we stopped in the neighborhoods there. And the devastation is so unbelievable. Across from the churches, we saw the different homes, how high the water had gotten on them. It's really unbelievable, but they sure need all the teams and individuals that can go over there, even if it's just for a day. They have plenty of work there for you, so make that call.
Okay. Yeah, this seems to be a rolling crisis in a sense, that while waters may have receded and areas dried out in the more or less central areas of the state, it rolls south and southeast. What's your sense of where people are as you move to the southeast quadrant of the state?
We really haven't had much contact with the southeast quadrant. We're just expecting that as the water goes down, there will be communities where they have to clean up, muck out, haul things out of their basements. A lot of stuff has to be just hauled out and thrown away, and we expect that activity to be taking place now as the water recedes further downstream.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me shift gears a little bit. You all are very active in VIM work and have been long before this crisis began, and you are good local folks from Madrid. Where is the response? What is the response of the church in terms of the connection beyond perhaps the boundaries of the Iowa Conference?
Well, of course, UMCOR publishes and puts out on the hotline the various places in the nation that are needing help, and we're being published right now on that, and so people are reading that and seeing that, and the Mission Volunteers Office of the Board of Global Ministries is also publicizing the fact that Iowa does need help right now, and they're publicizing the fact that we will be doing long-term recovery activity following the clean-out and tear-out portion of the work that's going on right now.
I might add that we are not only hearing from neighboring states in Iowa, but some of these are quite a distance that are calling and emailing us to bring in teams. Some of them will be coming shortly, and others we just heard from are coming in the week of Thanksgiving to help.
And where are some of these groups from, Gene?
They're from Nebraska. We're hearing from Georgia, Ohio, Illinois. Even though Illinois has flooding, they've offered teams to come over and help us there, too. Minnesota. They just seem to be coming from all over the nation.
Now, there are coordinators of each of the five jurisdictions for volunteers in mission. Do we have a sense of support from some of those folks?
They're all of those are publicizing the needs that we have now out to their people, so that all of the conference coordinators in the nation have the information and are publishing it in their conference, just as we do in the Iowa conference when we hear about their needs.
Now, a gentleman is coming from the northeastern jurisdiction, I understand, to spend some time with us in assessments.
Greg Forrester from the northeast jurisdiction will be coming in this weekend, and we will be traveling with him and showing him the areas, and he will be going back to his jurisdiction and pushing for help to come into Iowa. And he will also be a help for us to see what we need in additional work or our guidelines. He's going to look those over also. So we're looking forward to meeting with Greg this coming weekend.
He will be a function as a consultant to us so that he can take an outside look at what we are doing and visit with us about what we might do differently or better or that kind of thing.
Now, as you've gone from place to place, people have recognized you as being involved in the disaster response in one way or another. Are there any touching stories or odd vignettes in a sort of personal way as you've come in contact with the lives of people who have been so impacted by what's gone on?
Well, when we first got to Waverly, to Wartburg, we took a bit of a wrong turn on campus, and so we stopped at one of the other offices other than the one we were looking for. And as soon as we walked in there and greeted a lady there, she noted that because we were wearing these T-shirts, she assumed we were looking for the office who is handling the volunteer coordination there at Wartburg, and immediately put us on the right track to their office.
Okay. All right. Have you had other experiences with people who... Well, go ahead, Gene.
I was going to mention, even when we stopped in Cedar... We're in Cedar Rapids. We were running very low on gas, and our car was telling us to get to a gas station. We pulled in and filled up and decided we better stop at the restrooms because we couldn't use the restrooms any place that we were visiting. And we went in, and the door said, out of order. And the gal looked at us and says, you can use the restrooms. I believe they had so much traffic there that they had probably put the sign on the door, but she was more than welcome to let us use the restroom, so that was very wonderful. And then we've noticed when we stop to eat that people see our emblem on our shirts and greet us. It's touching.
Sounds like there's a sense that people beyond the most immediate circle or beyond the church memberships of Salem or Trinity or St. James or St. Paul's, or Coraville, or St. Paul's in Waterloo, or any other of the churches that you could mention, that there are people beyond the United Methodist family who are aware that we are involved in caring for those in this crisis.
Definitely. I think with our T-shirts that we have, and they see the emblem, it's a welcoming sign from everybody that we see.
Okay. Let me ask you one last question. Based on the involvement that you've had here in these last couple of weeks in response to the floods of 2008, what might be a closing thought or a closing request that you might have as of this point, which is Thursday, the 3rd of July?
We're just looking for teams and individuals to come and help, and the clean out, what we call the muck out, and the clean out and the tear out will soon be completed, and then we will be needing teams to come and help rebuild for some of those families who just can't do it with all the other financial help they can get. It won't be enough. And so we will have volunteers in working on those homes to bring them back to more livable conditions. And so we'll be needing the skilled teams, the carpenters, electricians, plumbers, carpet layers, drywallers, but we will still need the helpers for those folks. So if a person isn't skilled in one of those areas, they will still be needed to be helpers for those people.
Because we could always use cooks, we can use administrative assistants, we can use everybody. What do we always call those people?
Gophers.
Gophers.
Go for this, go for that.
We need a lot of gophers to help out.
For today and tomorrow, and it sounds like for the long haul.
Definitely, yes. We thought 93 was bad, but I really think this one is much bigger. We just don't realize it until you're out there traveling from town to town and see all the devastation. The need is great.
Thanks for the time, and we'll talk some more.
Thank you.